Book of Romans in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Is music to a preacher's ears to hear the pages of the Word of God being turned. And I know with electronic devices you don't hear that. Maybe they can add that noise back in or something, just like they have the fake ringtone you can get that sounds like the old telephone. They'll have to somehow come up with that for page turning. But it is a joy to have the Word of God and be able to look into it this morning. I'd like for us to begin reading in verse 9. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning it is a blessing to know what the cross represents to us as your children. We are grateful for the fact that our Savior shed his blood, allowed his body to be broken for our sins. But God, we are grateful that that cross is empty today, just as that tomb is empty. Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ is alive. And I pray, God, that as we look into your word this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, we realize that the world and the devil vies for our attention nonstop. But God, as we look into your word, we can still find a very clear message from you. And so it is my sincere prayer this morning, Father, that you would truly speak to us through this sacred book. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. With the onset of a new school year, we always ask our students to get an updated physical exam if they desire to play sports. But along with that, you know, you think about our own physical well-being. Sometimes I think the older that we get, we can try, if you would, to fool the system regarding our physical stats. Be honest. Have you ever tried to shift your weight on the scale to get a more agreeable reading? Have you ever thought through, wait a minute, I'm going to the doctor, so I know he's going to weigh me, so let me make sure that, you know, I have on light shoes, that I'm not wearing jeans, because I know they're going to be extra heavy, and you try and pull out all your keys of your pockets and put them in your jacket, and before they make you step on the scale, you say, let me take my jacket off and put it right here. I have to confess, I've done that on more than one occasion. But you know, you think about our overall well-being, and with a desire that we have to be thriving in our Christian life at FBT, I would like to take the next couple of months and study the biblical profile of a thriving church member. In studying for this message, I did a little bit of research on the heart. Were you aware that the Center for Disease Control reports that heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, and that people of all ages and backgrounds can get the condition? Were you aware that about 600,000 people die of heart disease in the United States every year? That's one in every four deaths. Heart disease is the leading cause of death for both men and women. More than half of the deaths due to heart disease in 2009 were in men. Coronary heart disease is the most common type of heart disease, killing nearly 380,000 people annually. Every year, about 720,000 Americans have a heart attack, and of these, 515,000 are a first heart attack, and 205,000 happen in people who have already had a heart attack. Coronary heart disease alone costs the United States $108.9 billion, that's with a B, dollars each year. And of course, that includes healthcare services, medications, and lost productivity. It's interesting when we think about the scriptures and we think about what it is that God desires for us to focus on spiritually, that if we were to avoid or bypass the matter of the heart, we would find that we would be finding ourselves on an impossible route to get into heaven. And as we find the scriptures before us today, I'm sure that many of us in here could perhaps have quoted those scripture verses. There are many of us who do know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and perhaps have used those exact verses in pointing another person to Christ or in sharing with them the plan of salvation. But I want to remind us this morning about three characteristics that ought to describe our heart. And I believe this will help each of us as we seek to do a spiritual heart checkup today to make sure that we are truly thriving as a church member ought to be. We find here in the scriptures it lays out very clearly for us that in order to be a part of the family of God, in order to be alive, if you would, we have to have believed with our heart. You know, sometimes when we talk about salvation, it's easy for people to refer to a specific prayer, and they'll say, well, did you pray the prayer? And while we find very clearly in both verse 9 and verse 10, when we talk about salvation, it requires for us to confess, it's important that we underscore the fact that what we're really after, what salvation truly is that, yes, it is that public confession, but it is the public confession of a faith that we have placed in Jesus Christ, not with our heads, but specifically with our heart. Which is why has often been said that when we talk about salvation, that the difference between life and death is approximately 18 inches, which they say is the average distance from our mind or our brain all the way down to our heart. And it is sad today to realize that there are people who are trusting in a false hope to get them into heaven. That hope that they might be trusting in might be the fact that, well, I know when I was a child, I prayed the prayer. That might be that someone is saying, well, I know for a fact that, yes, I can quote John 3:16 and I've memorized that and I can say it at any time. When we talk about salvation, it's important for us to realize that it's not a matter of being able to check off some boxes or being able to answer some specific questions according to an expected response. But it is a matter that literally only you and God know above all others, and that is, it is the decision of the heart. I find it interesting over the years, thanking God for the privilege of having come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 4, that oftentimes people are somewhat confused the older they get as to whether or not they have been genuinely saved. And I cannot speak for other people. I cannot speak to their experience. But what I can say is that when we talk about salvation, again, it's not a matter of, did you say this exact word? But it's a matter of, did you believe with your heart? And oftentimes we find people that are quick to say, oh yes, I went down an aisle. I knelt at an altar. I was taken aside into a counseling room. We may find other people that say, well, I do this every night before I go to bed. I always ask God to come into my heart and to save me. But you see, they don't understand what the scriptures are referring to. They don't fully grasp what salvation really is, because when we are genuinely born into the family of God, it is a heart decision that is made once and for all. When we are born again, when we are born into the family of God. Because it is a heart decision, it is very important for us when we are around other people and we know other people who may say, well, I'm questioning my salvation, I'm wondering about my salvation. It's important that all of us remember that I cannot go to someone and tell them, I know you are saved. Because I've seen you teach Sunday school. I've seen you sing in the choir. I've seen you serve as an usher. I've seen you and put down any type of outward service. Because what salvation is a decision of the heart. And as we know full well, the only person who knows your heart, aside from God, is you. Now, there's nothing wrong with helping someone, and we understand that the devil is the master deceiver and the devil is the father of all lies, and the devil doesn't want us to think that we are saved, and the devil may try and cause us to doubt what is a true and right decision. But at the same time, if someone has truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then it ought to be that even if these arrows of doubt come at me, I am able to defend myself with the truths of the Word of God and going back to a verse such as the ones that we've read this morning and say, wait a minute. I know for a fact there was a time in my life when I truly confessed with my mouth and I truly believed in my heart that Jesus Christ literally died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave, and I am trusting in Him alone for my salvation. But maybe this morning, under the sound of my voice, you're sitting here, and maybe you right now are having legitimate questions or doubt as to whether or not you simply went through the motions, you said the right words, but you never truly believed with your heart. Then to you this morning, I would remind you and plead with you that according to the Word of God, that you would make certain of your salvation to know that it is not a head decision that you made, but it was a heart decision where you truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Today we have a couple of people that are going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and I've had the joy of talking with both of them, and I'm looking forward to that decision. But I want to remind us all of one thing when we talk about salvation. You can go through that baptistry 100 times and still be a lost sinner on your way to a Christless eternity. Those waters of that baptistry have never washed away one single sin of any person that has ever entered into that tank, because salvation is a decision of the heart. Salvation is a decision that, according to the Scriptures, is to have taken place prior to ever being baptized. Baptism, we thank God for it. It is a very necessary point, and it is a public identification with Jesus Christ, and it is done as a step of obedience. So when we talk about this, we realize again that our heart, apart from God, apart from the Holy Spirit working in our lives, according to the Word of God, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And Jeremiah continues and says, who can know it? Also reminded of the fact that it is the psalmist who tells us, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. So when you've genuinely made that heart checkup and you've taken the time to examine the condition of your heart, it's not a matter of someone coming and telling you, oh, I know you're saved. No, it's what is the decision that you made in your heart? What was it that you decided in your heart? Not just going through what someone told you to do, but did you put your faith and trust in nothing but the work of Jesus Christ alone? And thankfully, when you have done that, then according to the Word of God, as the Bible says here in verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I love the fact that there is no room for doubt. It doesn't say might be, it doesn't say possibly will be, it doesn't say has a good chance of. It says that you will be saved. But as we do this spiritual checkup today, we've got to make sure when we talk about our heart that yes, most importantly, that our heart is a saved heart. Turn with me, if you would, now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. The second key in examining our hearts is not only is it a saved heart, but is it a secure heart? That is it one that is guarded? Is it one that is kept? Is it one that I have, as it were, put a sentinel about? And in Proverbs chapter 4, if you would read with me in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. This is one of the areas that I believe all too often as Christians we can be somewhat guilty of. Because we may be able to point back with no doubt, with absolute specificity, to a time in our lives when we genuinely put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, where we made not the head decision, but we made the heart decision, where it wasn't an emotional time where everybody was going and I had to go with the crowd, but it was where I made a personal decision to no longer trust in myself for my salvation, but trust solely in the work of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross of Calvary. But beyond that, I have a daily responsibility of making sure that I am keeping my heart. And this is where all too often we can find ourselves somewhat guilty. Now, when we think about keeping our heart, I realize that it doesn't necessarily mean that someone has deliberately gone out and said, okay, I'm saved. Now, devil, I tell you what, I'm going to open the doors to my heart and I'm going to let you come in and I'm going to let you absolutely guide and direct and push and shove me in any direction that you choose. No Christian who is a genuine child of God has ever had a thought such as that or made a statement such as that. But I find it interesting that sometimes when we talk about keeping our hearts, we can, through a temporary weakness, we can, through a temptation that comes across our path, fall prey to the trap or temptation of the devil. Now, we're never justified in falling prey to that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 makes that very clear, that in every temptation that comes across our path, that we do have a way to escape. But that's something somewhat interesting. I don't know that I would use the word humorous, but it was something interesting that happened yesterday. Becky was getting ready to go out, and my car was out of the garage, and so her car was on the other side, and you could see her car, and as my car would have normally blocked the view, but as we were getting ready to go out into the garage, she said, "Oh my word, did you see that?" And I said, "No, what was it?" And she said, my garage door was down, her garage door was up, and a black snake had come in the garage and had darted underneath her van. Now, thank the Lord, as you remember from the past, we had that, what we think might have been some type of a copperhead in our basement. It was in there for 3 days, about a couple of years ago. Becky wrote the Temple Trumpet article on it. It was no scare to her at all. But yesterday, black snake, oh well, it's just a black snake. And so she actually went over and started moving some of the tables that we have propped up on the side of our garage to see if the snake would show himself. We looked around, didn't see it. Still don't know where the snake is. We think possibly he got somehow trapped in the car on the underside, possibly went out and went for the ride of his life because she was leaving in just a couple of minutes later. But you know, it made me think. That snake, we have garage doors. We replaced our garage doors a couple of years ago. Our house is over 20 years old. The doors were getting old. The wood was rotting. We knew that they needed to be replaced, so we replaced them. And they've got a good seal on them. And they function perfectly fine. We've had no problems with them for the last couple of years. But you know, for those few moments when that garage door was up, a perfectly functioning door, the snake managed to get in. And I think sometimes with our spiritual lives, we can say, okay, I'm really trying to do what God wants me to do. I know I've got that saved heart. But for just a few moments, we let up on the security of our heart, the spiritual sentinel that is there. And we can let up in a host of different ways. We can let up by not spending the proper time in God's Word. We can let up by not asking God for His strength on a daily basis. We can let up by simply coasting and not genuinely desiring that close fellowship and communion with God. It doesn't mean that I don't have a saved heart. It simply means that I have chosen, by my own free will, to not keep that security perimeter as enforced as I should by depending in a greater fashion on the strength of my God when it comes to going about my daily living. And this is where, as we think about being a thriving church member, As we examine our hearts, we have to keep in mind that prior to our salvation, our hearts are evil. And I find it interesting when we talk about Jesus and the way in which he describes our hearts and points out certain characteristics of it, that he lets us know that our hearts have a kind of a double side to them, if you would. There are things that they can manifest just as much as things that they can choose to display in a positive sense. And I think in Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 15, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Again, we think of that, and it is true that what our heart is like is what we are like. There's no separation. There's no dichotomy that is there. But the blessing is that after our salvation, our hearts become a well of living water. The Bible says, Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In John 4 and verse 14. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 12 and verse 35, A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. But notice here again that we are given the responsibility. He says here, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, when we talk about our responsibility here, can the believer by himself truly keep his heart? No. Why is that? Because all of us have an old man. We have that sinful nature. And so that's why what what Solomon is trying to help us to understand here is that we still have a responsibility to go to God to ask for him to help us in keeping our heart. As the psalmist says in Psalm 25 and verse 20, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. And so if I am commanded, keep thy heart with all diligence, then what that means is I have to make certain, God, today I am not about to take one single step without being assured of the fact that your strength is going with me. And I mean that in a deliberate fashion. Starting our day off and saying, God, I know there's going to be all kinds of pitfalls, all kinds of temptations that are out there. But God, I am more than convinced that in every single one of those temptations, I can be more than victorious if you will help me in keeping my heart. And that's why when we think about what we say and what we see, that yes, this truly will be reflected through what is in our heart. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So I ask you, how secure is your heart? I didn't say, are you saved? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can say, yes, I have a saved heart. But are you seeking to keep that heart? Are you guarding what it is that you continually meditate upon, that you allow yourself to continue to dwell on? And the last thing that is a key when we talk about having the spiritual heart checkup is to have a sensitive heart. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You know, sometimes we can be in a church service, or you could be in a Bible study somewhere, and you feel like, man, you know, I'm getting hit over the head. I've got all these things that I need to do, and you know, what should my response be? And where's the hope? Where's the shining light? Well, that's what's happened here in Psalm 51, because we know David has been confronted with sin, specifically the sin of Bathsheba. And it's in this context that David, who I believe, according to Acts 13:22, was a man after God's own heart, and I believe very clearly, even at this point in his life, he had already put his faith and trust in God. I don't think there's any question about that. And now he was not saved in the sense that you and I are saved, because he was looking forward to the coming of the Lamb of God. You and I look back to it as an event that has already been accomplished, but he was nevertheless saved by faith every bit as much as you and I are saved by faith. It's just we trust in the work that was already accomplished as opposed to the work that was yet to come. But David has manifested in plenty of occasions prior to this his faith in God. He's talked of his fellowship with God. He's talked of his communion with God. He's talked of his walk with God. He's shared all kinds of blessings and truths that God imparted to him all the way back to his time as a shepherd boy. But he's no longer a shepherd boy in Psalm 51. He's now the king. And not only is he the king, but he is the king who sadly allowed for his heart to be unguarded. And so now we see that he has a sensitive heart. And in Psalm 51, if you'd look in verse 10, having heard of the sin that is in his life, he says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And down in verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." And to this I would remind us, when we talk about having a sensitive heart, it's the kind of heart that when the Holy Spirit points out in our lives sin, whether it's things that we have done that we shouldn't have done, the way you spoke to your wife this morning, the way you entered God's house this morning, maybe it's the things that you haven't done, the days this last week that you didn't read your Bible, the days that you didn't spend time in prayer. A sensitive heart is one when the Holy Spirit speaks to it and points out the areas in our life that are not clean, that we come back to God and we say, "Lord, I don't need you to save me again. I'm already saved. I know I'm your child. No man can pluck me from my Heavenly Father's hand. But God, maybe there's some sin that has crept in there. And Lord, I want to ask your forgiveness. I want to ask for your cleansing. I want you to renew me with specific relation to these areas that the Holy Spirit has pointed out to me." And you know what's so interesting about the Holy Spirit? When we're genuinely saved, the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us in ways that are so unique one from another. Which is why you can have two people sit down and read the same passage of Scripture and both be convicted about sin, and yet neither of the sins are related to each other. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit can speak to us. That's why we can both sit in the same service or sit in the same Bible study class and come away from there with a renewed sense of responsibility regarding a specific area of our lives that's totally different from what the other person sitting on the other side of the classroom or the other side of the auditorium heard. All giving testimony to the fact, again, that the Holy Spirit works in us and helps us to understand truths that otherwise could not be understood because of His power. And so if I have a sensitive spirit and a sensitive heart, then it will be that as I spend time in the Word of God on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit will be pointing out to me things that are lacking, areas for improvement, ways in which I can be a better father, a better husband, a better man of God, a better preacher, a better pastor. I have to make sure, though, that as the Holy Spirit does speak to me, that I am responding to what he says and that I'm not turning him off. You know, and I think sometimes we can be guilty spiritually speaking, of doing what oftentimes men may do when their favorite football game or basketball game is on TV. You know, the wife comes into the room and she could ask him 100 questions and everything. And then finally she says, "You're not listening to me. Wait a minute, what'd you say?" You know, and we're thinking, "Well, oh yeah, that's right." Yeah, because we'd kind of just zoned out. You know, we were so focused on the game that we hear it, but we're not really listening. And the same thing can happen. We talk about having a heart that is not sensitive. Oh, I can open up my Bible and I can read it. I can sit in the pew and I can hear it. I can even get behind the lectern and teach it. But what impact has it had on my life today? What is it that when I leave here in a few more moments that is going to be different? You know, that's why we think about an altar call and we think about an invitation. And we keep in mind, again, as this whole message is about, God knows our hearts. But the purpose of an altar call is so that as the Holy Spirit has spoken to us and has let us know, this is an area you fell short. This is something that is not right. This is an area as to why your fellowship is broken. It gives us an opportunity to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and not put it off. Because it's very easy for any of us to postpone until later that matter about which the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And that's where, as a child of God that is not just surviving, but one that is thriving for God, as an active church member, is one who says, "Lord, I don't want to have just a saved heart. God, I don't want to have just a secure heart. But God, I want to have a sensitive heart. I want it to be that as the Holy Spirit speaks to me, that I immediately seek to make that right with God. And that my relationship with Him is a growing one." So I ask you, is your heart beating spiritually? Are you saved? You know, it was funny, back when Raquel was about 3 years old, Becky and I were talking to her, and we were trying to think of what it was, what question we had asked her to elicit this response. But we were just talking, and with the wisdom of a child, she immediately piped up and she says, "You know what?" She says, "If your heart stops beating, if your heart stops beeping," over there like the soundboard right now, I know all of y'all have heard that, the whole sermon, but appreciate you guys trying over there. It's just one of the joys of modern technology. But if your heart stops beeping, you're dead. And we thought, where in the world did this come from? But you know, from a spiritual standpoint, it ought to be that every one of us says, "Lord, I want my heart to be beeping for Christ. God, I want to make sure that I'm saved." And then we think as well, you know, as I hear of people all the time, church members and friends and acquaintances, that, man, everything's going right and they think their health is fine and they're just coasting through life, and then they go to the doctor and then they realize, they've got some plaque buildup, those arteries. They got to get a heart catheterization, have to get a stent put in. Well, I think that doesn't mean their heart's not beating, but it just means there's some corrosion that has crept into there that needs to be cleaned out, that if it is not cleaned out, it will render them weak or, in worst case scenario, dead. I think that's the same thing spiritually speaking. You know, it ought to be that this morning that we think, "Well, Lord, have my spiritual arteries become clogged by the world? Do I find myself looking forward more to spending time with the unsaved than I do with those who are my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I find greater enjoyment in reading a secular novel than I do the Holy Scriptures?" Could it be that perhaps my spiritual arteries have become clogged and maybe I just need to come and say, "God, I want you to do a spiritual heart catheterization on me. Lord, clean out those arteries." God, I want to make sure that I am truly sensitive to you. It's interesting, you know, you think of foods that are out there and heart-healthy things, and of course, that has been the one bandwagon that Cheerios has sought to cling on to for dear life. That's the heart-healthy breakfast, if you'll just eat some Cheerios. Do you know what the heart-healthy breakfast, lunch, and dinner is for the child of God? It's coming back to His Word, saying, Lord, today, God, as I look into this sacred book, I want to make certain that my heart is sensitive to you. So, in the local pharmacy, there's a proliferation of heart medicines, blood pressure medicine. Yet there's one medicine that truly is a universal cure. It's found in the Holy Bible. And it's my prayer that every one of us will say, Lord, where am I in this description? Do I have that saved heart? Do I have the secured heart? Have I perhaps let up a garage door as a snake crawled in? Do I have that sensitive heart? As God has spoken to me, have I responded? Whether in my daily devotions, whether in a church service, or whether just simply out walking down the street, when God has spoken, have I sought to make things right with Him? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.